Blog Talk Radio.
Cut that shit up, Quay. Oh my gosh, back at it again.
Back at it.
In the kitchen whipping, I'm rapping again.
Whipping.
Keep on playing, then I'm stabbing your friend.
Woo.
I'm in the hood, I think I'm back trapping again.
Trapping.
Woo. Oh my gosh, back at it again.
Back at it.
Hey, on my grizzly, back back in again.
Hey,
hey, bingo fought it on me, back back in again.
Wow.
Hey, keep a quarter on me, backpack in the bin.
Catch. Quaver, back at it, count up 100, the rest at it, yeah, my wrist a Titanic, ice hit the glacier, it do damage, yeah, your gon' panic, I see through a panic like a panoramic,
hey,
yeah, then get back to whipping, then get back to trapping, your back at it, if it's too crowded, I might shoot out the roof and say, let her come through,
bye-bye.
Keep it 1,000 when I'm in the booth, I spent 2,000 to step in the shoes, gang on gang, how you think we gon' lose,
yeah.
Back to back motorcade, that's how we move, on my porch, I was sitting on the stool,
mama.
When I hopped up, I took off to the moon,
oh my gosh, back at it again.
Back at it.
In the kitchen whipping, I'm rapping again.
Whipping.
Keep on playing, then I'm stabbing your friend.
Woo.
I'm in the hood, I think I'm back trapping again.
Trapping.
Woo. Oh my gosh, back at it again.
Back at it.
Hey, on my grizzly, back back in again.
Hey,
hey, bingo fought it on me, back back in again.
Wow.
Hey, keep a quarter on me, back back in the bin. My diamond like Fiji, I'm yellow bees, the ice out in this freezer, just cop the Luigi. Oh, take it easy, you trippin', I'm leaving. I drank in the freezer, this now come easy. I'm trappin', I mean it, my belt double G me. That cooler, that heater, take knots in your reader. I sent some shots through a white beater. Chop a knock out of his fever. Don't call me little baby, I'm sorry, don't need you. That's money I got shot up, then went up on features. Body for body, my some demons. We tip it, tally, you busted and bleeding. Stopped in the land in the booth with my Nina. Back in the day, used to trap in the beamer. I'm a true hustler, my the schemer. In her eyes and that look the creamer. Oh my gosh, back at it again.
Back at it.
In the kitchen whipping, I'm rapping again.
Whipping.
Keep on playing, then I'm stabbing your friend.
Woo.
I'm in the hood, I think I'm back trapping again.
Trapping.
Woo. Oh my gosh, back at it again.
Back at it.
Hey, on my grizzly, back back in again.
Hey,
hey, bingo fought it on me, back back in again.
Wow.
Hey, keep a quarter on me, back back in the bin.
Wrist so froze, I can't shake hands, I gotta give you a pound. Wave my bank account, quadruple, think I'm still slanging pounds. Told them, catching my vote for who, trying to get this dope across the border. Grew up, I'm from East Atlanta, but stand my ground like it's Florida. The judge, the bailiff, the local reporter. Tell the hoax to my lawyer, grew up slicker than oil. Parked the dawn, wrote the raid to the truck with the odds. Look like a Roar, still a ship every time I bring out my cars. Stars by the bar, neighborhood superstar. 24K, Bruno Mars, down to the drawers. I'm thinking large, talking old money, Chico the bars. Blue sound 20, futuristic, moving is parked. It's Gucci.
Oh my gosh, back at it again.
Back at it.
In the kitchen whipping, I'm rapping again.
Whipping.
Keep on playing, then I'm stabbing your friend.
Woo.
I'm in the hood, I think I'm back trapping again.
Trapping.
Woo. Oh my gosh, back at it again.
Back at it.
Hey, on my grizzly, back back in again.
Hey,
hey, bingo fought it on me, back back in again.
Wow.
Hey, keep a quarter on me, back back in the bin.
Catch.
One, two, one, two.
Hey, hey, we back in the place to be. God bless us with another Wednesday. So we're back again in Shoebox Talk Part 2. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. How are you doing?
I'm hanging on in here. I'm hanging in here. I asked the great Dante Townsend to join us as our special guest again. I want to definitely open up my show this evening with some prayer, as I got news that at least 5 close friends of mine is suffering with the COVID, has been diagnosed with the COVID, and one of them is not doing too good. So if we could open up the line with some prayer, and we praying for everybody. those that are ignorant to the fact, those that's running around here following this president, and those that are suffering, and doing, and you know, trying to get through it. And we and I hope that our prayer is that they make it.
Amen. Amen. But let us go to the throne of grace. Father God, we first pause to say thank you for another day of life, another day, Father, to celebrate, another day to get things right and in order. Now, Father God, we ask that you would first, Father God, look past our faults and see our needs. Father God, we are ignorant people, Father, who don't know and who don't understand. And some of us, Father, don't care to know your will. But, Father God, there are some out here, Father God, that are trying their best, Father, to lean on to you, Father, to lean on to whatever you would have for them to do, Father, to show us your will and your way for our lives. Father God, right now, as we are facing this pandemic, Father God, we are in a fight for our very lives, Father, not our freedom, Father, but for our lives. And we know, Father God, since you are the giver of life, Father God, we ask that you would touch us in a mighty way, Father. Grant us peace, Father, within our gates. Father God, heal all those that are suffering right now, Father God, that are sick right now, Father God. Touch them in a mighty way, Father. Bless them, heal them, Father, uplift them, and carry them, Father. Also, right now, Father God, I also pray for those that are ignorant to the fact, Father, that believe that this is not real, Father. I ask that you would touch them in a mighty way, Father, that you would open up their eyes so that they may see. Father God, I also have to pray for our leader, Father, that so long as the blood runs warm in his veins, Father, that he has an opportunity to change, Father. We ask right now that you would show him, Father God, show him tonight, Father, what it is that as a leader he must do. That he is not only a leader to come, but he's a leader to all, Father. And we just ask right now, Father God, that you would strengthen us in this process, Father. Help those, Father, that call on you. Help those that believe in you, Father, and we will forever be grateful. We thank you. We honor you. We love you. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. So we back on part two, because I know last Wednesday we ran out of time. So, you know, with the situations that's going on in this country, we're gonna have to update more than once a month with HubNet News. So with that being said, do we got Brother Darius on?
No, he hasn't dialed in yet.
Okay, gotcha. I'm sure he's on his way. So at any rate, Hakim, what is it numbers looking like, or what is it looking like down there in Philly? I haven't heard much about what's going on in Philly after the protesting. In regards to the virus,
I'm sorry. I lost track. Oh, I haven't checked since the weekend, so let's take a look.
I haven't heard anything in regard to now. Keep in mind, and that's on me, because after I saw on Sunday how this president is discrediting Dr. Fauci, I just didn't really want to listen to no more of the news or anything else. This dude is just actually unbelievable, and I felt like it was taking a toll on my mood in regards to this whole situation this country is in. So I just had to take a break, and because I normally keep up with the numbers, how you know, in regards to how it's decreasing as well as increasing in the deaths. For example, here in the county and Texas period, we got 293,000 in Texas. That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
For one state. Out of that 293,000 confirmed cases, we had in the state of Texas up to date, as of today, 3,532 deaths. Right.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Just in my county, in San Antonio, we have 21,079 confirmed, and we have 201 deaths as of today. You know, it wasn't too long ago when New York was going through what they was going through. We had like maybe 75 deaths and maybe 4,000 or 5,000 confirmed cases in San Antonio. We wasn't doing too bad. And now that it has hit Texas and spread it like it has, it's like quadruple. It's like 5 times that amount. So,
yeah.
I don't really know. I said, and it's not a situation where people want to be right and wrong. I know for myself it's not. But I did say that when we opened up Texas, I was like, okay, no, we're not ready to, you know, we took for granted. I felt like we took for granted, oh, because our numbers were so low. At that time, Houston was kind of up there out of all the cities. But the guidelines that the state put, the government put together in regards to open up, none of these major cities, especially not Dallas, met those guidelines. In other words, you had to be a percentage down in your numbers to open up businesses and stuff. And we wasn't down in our numbers in the state of Texas. Just like so my thinking is, with that being said, if we're not gonna follow the guidelines per state that the governor's put out in order to qualify to open up businesses and stuff, then what would make you think that they're going to follow the guidelines for these schools to open up?
Yeah.
You want parents to sign waivers that if your kid gets sick with COVID, you won't sue? You won't hold the state of Texas liable for making the kids go back to school?
That's just going to have to happen.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, they can't sign waivers. They can't even issue waivers. It's a government entity. So, you know, Trump can get away with doing waivers because he was having campaign rallies and he didn't want his campaign to get sued. But a government entity can't, you know, you have to. When we send our kids to school, the school is in charge. They serve as the position of the parent. So, nah. If our kids get sick, we're going to sue the shit out of them. This is where that's how that's going to go.
Yeah,
but,
that sounds ridiculous.
But yeah, to answer your question, yeah, we had about 994 cases as of midnight last night. So we are we're not doing too good. According to the chart here, we're rising back up. 102,000 confirmed statewide and 7,000 deaths. Just here in Philly, we're at a little over 1,600 deaths. So, yeah, I mean,
I'm glad,
I mean, because according to the chart, we're going upwards, not down. But yeah, to your point with education is really important. You know, we have to start coming up with some strategies and plans. I got one down, one to go. You know, I've made a decision that my middle son isn't going back to school. He's going to be homeschooled immediately. So it's my younger son. I'm still waiting to find out what his school's plan is before we make a decision. And, I mean, it's tougher in Republican-controlled states like Texas and like Florida. There is no real strategy. They're leaving it up to the counties and the cities. And I mean, come on, Disneyland's about to open up. I've seen the mayor of Orange, Florida, whatever, you know, him and Hahn, and you know, and the reporter kept asking, how could you possibly be okay with this happening? Oh, well, we looked at the Chinese model or the Asian model for their version of Disneyland, and they opened up. Yeah, and they also just had to close it again. You're not looking at that model either.
Right.
So,
and not only that, Doc, the main thing about this is, okay, looking at it from a godly perspective, now, I admit to you, I'm a man of faith, but I'm also a realist as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had children, there's no way that I would send my children into a school with other children who might end up with or might have that disease, that virus.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. Or even some of the teachers may have it. When you are asymptomatic, you don't even have any symptoms. So
right. That's the killer part.
How?
Like you
yes.
walking
and,
around here infecting people
and
don't even know you're infecting people.
Right, right. And that's why it's like the way it is now, because the virus itself, it continues to mutate as well. So this virus actually, in our actuality, was the perfect biological weapon to wipe whoever out, whoever, and
uh-huh.
whatever, however way it got out, we got it. I mean, now at this point, we've been dealing with it since late February, March, you know, January. Now we got to start really thinking with our brain, what is it that we need to do? If we
right.
have to shut ourselves in our houses until things get better, then that's what we got to do.
Right.
I told my members,
right.
don't even think about coming to that church, coming to that
uh-huh.
building, because the church is within us, but the building, do not even think about coming to that building.
Yeah.
One of my friends, her pastor said that people are, that these other pastors are just making excuses on not to go into the buildings. Well, you know, and I told them that sounds so stupid, because first off,
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that my people are taken care of. As
mm-hmm.
the shepherd of that house, I have to be responsible for the sheep. And if I don't feel comfortable by being there, then I'm not going to let them come in and be there.
Right. That's common sense.
You know, it's common sense. And you know, God gave it to us. We need to start using it. I mean, seriously, we have to start
mm-hmm.
using common sense. Or it's gonna eventually take us all out. And
uh-huh,
45
uh-huh.
will be sitting there in his office by himself, you know,
uh-huh.
the president over, you know, the nation of one person. So we really have to start making.
And I don't
go
know
ahead.
Why so other countries, we follow in other countries, but they were complying, you know, like in China, they was like, you know what, you're gonna wear a mask and we're going to shut down everything. You know, people's different countries have been more compliant. Italy shut it down. You didn't have too many people running around talking about, I don't want to wear no mask. And it's just like this whole pandemic has got me to a point where I see how I never really looked at the United States before, but this is a country of straight up ignorant people, man. Just straight up stupidity and ignorant, I can't even speak, people who, I'm not even going to start with the president. I'm talking about just us as, you can open up Disney World all you want to. If we had any sins, we won't go. You can
mm-hmm.
you can open up the schools all you want to, but if we had any sins, we wouldn't send our kids. You know, so it's like saying, you know, you're passing all these laws and making all these regulations, but it's up to the people to decide whether or not we're going to participate in it. It's real simple. You participate, you have the chance, you got your kid, which a lot of these parents running around, you need to be focused on your kids running around here having COVID parties and taking it as a joke. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
not, it's one thing to say that we don't have a good leadership, you don't have good leadership in regards to the administration, but we as parents, grandparents, and stuff like that, teachers, doctors, we're not being good leaders ourselves when we sitting up on TV talking about if the president don't wear a mask, I'm not going to wear a mask. And going to these rallies like it's nothing.
And also,
you
though,
know,
going
it's the
back
people
to what
of,
you're
of
about,
this country as well.
Right, but
you know,
going back to what you said as far as the other countries and everything, you got to remember that America really is one of, or maybe just a few, that allows their people to have a voice. So if over in another country, when they say, if leaders say it, the people do it. We're one of the few that sits back and we always have to rebel against our leadership, whether right or wrong or indifferent. We do that, such as the case as our former president. You know, look how much issues that he went through, trying to run this country and the people that rebelled against what he said because they should have a right to freedom of speech. So, and they can do what they want. If they don't want to do it, they're not going to do it. So in other countries, when they tell them to do something, they do it or they suffer the consequences. We here claim to be in a more civilized society, more, you know, a democratic society, but it doesn't. Right now, it's if we were living in under other laws, we might have been finished by now. Never really know.
And that might be so, but in some cases, and that is true. That's a part of how we operate as a country and our constitutional rights and all that. But at some point, we had to put a cap on that when it comes to people's lives. You know, there's a lot of people. That's in their feelings is mourning because their family members have passed away that would have, given the situation being different, would have still been alive, you know, and then they want to compare this to other pandemics. For example, the H1N1, those numbers was way different. It was not this bad. We're looking at estimated back in 2010, from 2009 to 2000, almost a year to the date, April 12th to April 10th of 2010, the CDC estimated that there were 60.8 million cases. Out of that, 304 was hospitalized, and 12,469 deaths. We have long surpassed that. It ain't been nowhere near 12 months. You know, so at some point, that's cool, constitution and all that, but it needs to be a point where as a country, regardless of your race, regardless of your, because this virus is not discriminating whatsoever. And they want to, you know, we have people that are, we actually don't know. The best information we can get is Dr. Fauci, and we're not even listening to him. We don't know. People are exhibiting different signs, and they were in the beginning. They were hollering, "Oh, it's the elderly people." No, young people dying too. See, that message allow kids to run around here and have beach parties and stuff, and COVID parties because they were running around here talking about. Only the elderly people was getting. Some stuff we don't need to, you know, as a country, some stuff we just don't need to know. That set the tone for the non-compliance that we have now. You know, all these people, like my friend in Detroit, Mark Moore, died when blood clots. He was fighting the virus in the hospital. Blood clots formed in his lungs. Well, maybe if he went the other route, which they wasn't doing at the time, from my understanding, and had the blood, then they're not doing respirators that much down here. They're taking you, they running blood through you, and taking out your old blood. And people are living. That's what they've been doing down here. So I'm not nowhere near a medical professional, but I know a lot of people died on respirators, and the lack thereof. For this.
Yeah.
So anyway, we were talking about the virus and we were talking about the numbers and trying to compare it to other countries and I can remember, I was thinking to myself, when these other viruses came out, I remember them, but I wasn't, I don't know why, but I had gone in my life, I'm going to attest to this as well. Really that concern. Like, I'm concerned and I see it in the news, but I was. It was nothing like it is now. I don't know why. It was nothing like it. You know, I didn't know anybody had H1N1. None of these viruses. You know. So,
well, this is. Yeah, those are. This thing here is nothing like those. one, two. Say again, your phone's breaking up.
They have been comparing it to that.
Yeah, because that's the closest thing. It's the closest thing they can come to this thing, because this thing is just so weird and is mutating from what they understand. I don't know if you guys have heard, you know, a lot of the medical community has been around the world has been asking the World Health Organization to upgrade this thing to an airborne disease. Because before it was droplets, you know, but now they're saying that there are micro droplets that actually can stay in the air for hours and hours at a time. So that makes that means if you coughed or sneezed in an enclosed space and you walked out and left an hour later, I can come in and take a deep breath. It goes in me and I've got it. So it's ever growing. It's mutating. It's a virus. A virus is mutating. So anything we think we know now could be different come September. It could be different come New Year's. You know, as of, you know, hell. I mean, as of yesterday, we can't. All our outdoor big events are canceled until February. So you can hang up your parades, your football outside, and all that stuff. So it's a wrap. At least here, PA. So I don't have a problem with it. You know, I'm okay with the idea of locking this bitch back down again, because it's out of pocket, it's out of control. The people don't want to wear masks. They don't want to stay in the house. Everybody wants to have a cookout. Everybody wants a rooftop party because they think, oh, it's not going to happen to me. You don't know. I've lost 3 people to this crap, you know, in my family this year. And I lost track of how many friends and you know, coworkers and stuff like that I had to deal with. So it's like, you know what it is? You don't believe it till it happens to you.
That's right.
You know, people are very reactionary. Still in one of Queen Vi's quotes. People are very reactionary and they're very seldom proactive. And it's sad. It's sad.
Yes, sir, it is.
All right, wanted to touch base on something else. Let's try real quick. I wanted to give a rest in peace to Zinzi Mandela, the youngest daughter, of Nelson Mandela. She died a few days ago at the age of 59, and pretty much most of the African countries have been honoring her throughout the week. Wasn't following her too much, but whenever her name popped up, I always took the time to take a look, because she tried to carry on her father's legacy. And it's just sad to hear that she passed away in Johannesburg.
What was it, COVID?
Mm-hmm.
No. This is, it's not COVID related, but it's terrible.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Yep. So what else is going on? Brother Dare should probably be on with us shortly. We got about a half an hour left. What else you guys got on your mind in terms of current events?
I want to touch. I want to also give an update on Scarface. He's diagnosed with the COVID. Scarface, the rapper, he's from Houston. He is now on dialysis from the COVID. So let's make sure we pray for him and his family, and hopefully he can get through. He never had any problems with his kidneys prior to this. So, you know, one of those things where people are coming up with, you know, making it through and coming up with all kind of heart, all kind of health problems now.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to stay on top of it, because once, even though you come back and you're COVID free after having it, there are lasting effects. And because of that, you have to stay on top of your medication. You have to stay on top of of making sure that you're eating right, that you're eating healthy, that your immune system is having a chance to rebuild itself. Because doing all of this, your immune system, your body, everything goes under attack. So you, and once your virus clear, you still got to keep it up for at least another month and a half to make sure, because I've even heard that now that there are people that have had it once that are now catching it again.
Yep. That
was my question.
Yep. They're coming out of the woodwork, aren't they? I've seen one today and one yesterday.
So they get it once, and then they want to get it again. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, but the problem is they don't know. You know, the medical community, they don't know. All they know is what they know, and then they put it out there. And the miscommunication campaign is real. And we have to take some time to pay attention to what's happening, especially with that orange pile of dirt in the White House. When you're cold, I go in and I get tested. I find out, I go to the hospital for some emergency or whatever's going on. I go in, I get tested. They keep me, they hook me up to whatever. That my information and my data is supposed to be forwarded to the CDC. He now has my information and all other COVID patients' information going around the CDC to some unknown database that he controls. Because I don't know if anyone's been paying attention, but he's been fighting with his own CDC for the last 2-3 days.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. I mean, and it's to the point where he wants to win the election this bad that he's going to fudgy numbers that affects lives. So, I mean, without that information, you don't know what to do. Because each person, like the people are coming out saying they caught it twice. There's something unique about these people because they ain't happened but for a handful of people. So you need as much information as possible. So, I mean, and if he's gathering it and he's not releasing it to the public, the CDC has to release it to the public. So imagine you being the head of a health department in a local municipality, you know, in your territory, your area, and you need that data and you can't get it. You have to ask Trump administration for it. Good luck.
Right. Mm. What would be the purpose of that, though?
Say again?
What would be the purpose of him wanting that? To control the thing on database. That's crazy. You ain't a professional.
It's
a control factor.
Yeah. He's doing it because, remember, this is the same guy that says our numbers wouldn't be so high if we didn't test so much. So I slowed the test down. If he comes out and say, no, there wasn't that many, that state lying or this state lying, they're doing it for the election. We will never know our national numbers. Because at the end of the day, this is like, okay, we are worse than where China ever was. And then it ties into this war he's launching with China. You know, he got up yesterday and decided he want to sign that bill and put restrictions on China. China, I get up this morning, first thing I saw is China said they're swearing revenge on us. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so when a pack of draws or something that you get from Walmart costs you about $40, you know what happened.
And so, now also was it the Taliban or was it ISIS that put a hit out on him as well?
Didn't
somebody
put
a
hit
out on him?
I didn't hear that they put a hit out on him.
Yeah,
I heard there was one American
group. No, there's one group that put a hit out on Trump. They put a price on his head.
What?
And they were saying that he's for murder and everything like that. They were saying I heard it briefly this morning But of course, you know, that doesn't many presidents have had that put on them from their enemies and everything, you know. But we just have to find a better way. We have to find a different solution to, you know, our problems and what we can do to perhaps get ourselves out of the situations that we're in. Because, you know, when I even think about this here, you know, it could have been easily fixed. It could have easily been, you know, we could have shut down for, you know, a couple months. Everybody just, automatic shutdown. Whatever needed to be done, we do it to make sure that the American people are together and healthy. And then you open back up, you know, after there are no cases. But everybody's thinking about money. And I think that's the one thing that we need to get away from is that the money's going to always be there. But the lives, the human lives, will not. And we're going to have to do something to fix this.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't care. That's why I had to work away from the news. In my lifetime, I have never seen this country this bad. And it just seems like it's getting worse. And everybody's looking for a way out. We want to get back to being normal. We was never normal. Things was not right in this country. And, you know, blaming Trump to be as a racist or whatever, it was already here. He just gave people permission, the avenue to express their actual true feelings, which is race, white women blaming black men for just out of the blue because anybody can make a call and automatically that black person is held accountable. You know, coming and being afraid, claiming that they're so afraid of black women and all this craziness. It's been here. And you hear a crazy story like that. We hear it every day. Every day. You know, and when I go back to the last week's show when I said, my friend said, I don't feel when she repeated what D.L. Hughes said to me. I don't feel bad at all telling a white person that I have been telling you that we've been going through. You have not been listening. You in this country with us. And you mean to tell me that you just now realize that it's just as bad? I don't need your apology. This is the crazy she has that she went up to the white coworker, the interview with the comment that D.L. Hughley had made. So, I mean, this is like, we'll see what tomorrow brings. You know, that's what Minnesota win. I don't know if this guy's name messed up. The dude in Minnesota before George Floyd's car and the girlfriend put it on Facebook Live. That's right there. I don't think I slept for a couple of days after that. What we're doing now, we should have been doing. It seemed like it always come back to back, just like with this other guy, Wendy. There was a guy before that got killed, right after the guy for Flamando, there in Minnesota. And people in Minnesota did a little bit of protesting, but it was nothing like to the effect of like it is now. My man in Staten Island, New York, where I'm from, he protested, and then we all went home, went to bed, and called it a day. The city of New York wrote the family a check, and we just kept it moving. You know, he should have been coming. This was the icing on the cake. And I don't know what it was. I think I brought it up last show as well. I don't know what it was that sent us over the top this time, where we felt like in numbers we can get more done. And people standing up and other nationalities protesting with us. But it's long overdue. Long overdue. Breonna Taylor. I want to touch on Breonna Taylor. Back when George Floyd passed away, I made one of the groups a post about Breonna Taylor. She got killed in her home before George Floyd. Before Ahmaud Arbery, and in Kentucky, which is a show-up racist state,
Hold on. I'm going to cut you off. It's hard to hear you. There's something going on with your phone.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, if you can, if you're on speaker, can you move closer to it, or because it's breaking up?
Take
we couldn't understand.
Speaker,
like,
my, how about
there
now?
There you go.
Perfect. Okay, I'm just putting it up to my ear. This 87, some people went and protest some celebrities as well, and 80 people was arrested outside the home of Kentucky Attorney General. This Attorney General, who's a black dude, is not doing what he needs to do. They had the mayor also on interviewing, and nobody wants to hold these police officers accountable. The mayor said that it was because, you know, unlike George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery, there's no video, right? So the Anderson Cooper asked them, how come there's no video? What do you mean there's no video? How come the law states that all officers, these are plainclothes officers, so they didn't have cameras on them. Either way, before these two gentlemen, Kings, got killed, nobody was doing anything about Breonna Taylor's. This dude, one of the officers, just now getting fired. And it looks like they're not going to be held accountable. It looks like, and I'll be very surprised, that they're not going to be held accountable for barging into this young lady's home and killing her unlawfully. Unlawfully. You needed seven dudes. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because this is just the information I got. You need seven dudes to issue a warrant. Your whole purpose of going out there was to issue a warrant. Really? And then you
kicking in somebody's door
to issue a warrant?
But that wasn't
first
even a house
the
that
story,
they were supposed to be at, though.
When I first heard the story, I thought they were going in there looking for drugs. Like maybe her boyfriend was selling drugs or whatever the case may be. They went to issue a warrant.
A no-knock warrant. That's the key. It's not just a regular warrant. A no-knock warrant. And I don't know if any of you have had the blessing of receiving a no-knock warrant, but it's not pleasant. You wake up with guns in your face and lights flashing around your house.
That's the law in Kentucky. I know down here in Texas, we don't got no-knock. You're going to knock. Amongst the arrested... were Houston, Texas wide receiver Kenny Stills and Real Housewives Portia Williams, who was recorded as being handcuffed and led away by police. Now, this was a peaceful protest. I'm not understanding.
Louisville needs to be canceled. That's just the fact of the matter. It is a very, very hillbilly, redneckish, racist town. You know, two of our own were killed there within a matter of months apart. So, yeah, it's something going on there. And there's a long history of the police department doing things and getting away with murder. So, I mean, it's got to change. You know, it's got to change, and it's a shame that we don't hear about these protests like we used to. You know, but the saddest part about that whole story is that you came to do a no-knock warrant for a guy who was wanted for drugs or whatever, and he was already in custody earlier that day. You came to look for somebody you already got. And you came to do a no-knock, and the boyfriend jumped up, he pulled his gun out, he started shooting because he's thinking it's a home invasion. And they returned fire and killed her. And then had to know to lock him up.
Right.
I mean, we can't make this stuff up at this point.
You really can't.
He was shot
in the leg.
Yeah.
But
he's out now. I lost track of what happened to his charges, but it's messy. excuse me. All right, we got about 15 minutes left. I wanted you guys' opinion on something because it's something that is nagging at me. This whole Nick Cannon thing. Have you guys been following
that
story?
Nick Cannon?
No.
Oh, man.
I heard something about it.
What happened with Nick Cannon?
Well, apparently, to make a long story short, somewhere, some interview or something, somewhere he came out saying that white people and Jews are the true savages, and he went on his, and, you know, let's be honest, who can argue? And he was talking about the history of it all. And he got canceled by Viacom.
What got canceled? His show?
Yeah, his everything. Nick Cannon, for those of you who are listening, Nick Cannon just wasn't the host and creator of Wild Out. Nick Cannon was he has been a part of the Viacom family for the last, man, before my kids were born. You know, he was a co-writer of the hit sketch series All That, where Kenan and Kel came from, Amanda Barnes, he wrote for Kenan and Kel. He had multi deals, and he had that's why you're able to see him on Nickelodeon. You're able to see him on BET and VH1 producing different types of content. He was considered an executive in Viacom. Now, for the pastor, he is being called anti-Semitic. He is being, you know, he's getting the normal. He's getting the normal anti-Semitism rant. Could you help people who don't know what Semitism is? Could you break it down from your understanding?
Well, you know, I first off, let me go back to this real fast. Let me also say this. I think that Nick Cannon, first off, should have, you know, him being who he is, he ought to know better than to do that and to be, you know, to say certain things at certain times. To break down what you asked, it's a form of hatred. People think that they're hating on Jews and everything of that nature. Do I believe that what he said, you know, because he, you know, people are kind of conflicted on what he said, because he, on one hand, he was saying that the white woman is the black man's gift for getting themselves out of the ghetto. And then on the other hand, he's saying that they're savages and, you know, things of this nature. So I'm kind of confused on where he stands. Where he, you know, where he was wrong at. I mean, you know, at this stage of the game where racism is a big topic for everybody right now, not just blacks, not just whites, and let me also say that Jews is not a, being a Jew is not a race, it's a culture, it's a religion. So you can't, so anybody can be a Jew. So I think that this was the wrong time, wrong place for him to say that. If it was 6 months ago, he may have gotten a little slap on the wrist. But because now he, you know, we're in the middle of all of this stuff that's going on, you know, like my mama always said, you know, learn when to talk and when to listen. So I think, you know, if anything, you know, if he is, you know, preaching hate, you know, I mean, they're like I said, if they feel that that's what he was doing, I mean, who's to say that they're not right? Who's to say that he's not right? But because we, on one hand, we get upset when we hear it. So, I mean, I'm sure the same way, we call for people to be terminated from their jobs when we see them out there doing, you know, stuff against black people. You know, you just have to you have to know that the pendulum swing both ways. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Okay. I need to do some research on the story. I that's the first I heard of it. And if it's what you're saying that he said this a while ago.
No, this is recently.
This is recently.
He just got fired with another last
couple days. Did he say it at? I need to get the interview.
Just Google Nick Cannon. It's all over the place. I can't remember where he said it.
The actual interview.
It was on Vlad TV, where he was speaking about the white woman being the trophy.
Which is true. That has been a long-standing truth. You know, we've been saying it for the last, we've been saying it since the days of Richard Pryor, no Jay Simpson. You know, it was evidence and proof that the black man made it out the hood. I'm with the pastor on this. It's just like him and DeSean Jackson from the Eagles. You know, we have enough distractions. We're supposed to be focusing on cops putting knees on our back and killing us. A racist president, Ku Klux Klan members, these Dixie flying racists. We have enough to focus on. That's what everybody's talking about. And DeSean Jackson, I'm not quoting Hitler. He came out quoting a wrong and fake Hitler quote a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the problem. One, anybody quoting Hitler, you shouldn't talk to and shouldn't listen to. Now, sometimes these celebrities want to be a part of the conversation. The problem is he wasn't a part of the conversation. When the last time we had a beef with a Jew?
Before you go there, and sometimes I have to write names down. I don't know why. Okay, but okay. So what I'm asking is, so this happened, and because he did this interview or whatever, he lost all his shit. He's not a part of Viacom anymore.
His Viacom is owned, ran, and have been operated. Viacom's are the one. The Redstone family were the ones that plucked Howard Stern off the radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he went to satellite. So there's a long-standing history with Viacom, you know. And here's the thing: he's been cashing Viacom checks since he was a teenager. He's worked for Viacom his whole life, in one way or another. So for him to come out and do that, even though some of his stuff has some validity, I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about the camera crew, the catering, the makeup artists, the comedians who this is their big break. They're all out of work now. Again, it goes back to that conversation about leadership. And I get why he did it, because he's a part of the Black Hebrew Israelite community. And I get it. Jews are Europeans who adapted a Hebrew tradition and culture. Basically, they stole it from the Black Hebrews. I get all of that. But there's a time and a place for that. You want to talk about the white man and all that? Because
this is my thing, okay? Right is right. I hear what you're saying. I know we only got a few. We might have to do part three. And I'm going to speak on this. First of all, him saying what he said, and the fact that if what you're telling me, he's lost all his stuff and people are out of work because of what he said, man, we have a freaking president that's running, that's saying, doing 10 times worse than that. Are you freaking kidding me?
But guess what?
So
here,
it's
I understand
okay to
what
hold
you're
Nick
saying.
Cannon accountable, and he lose all his shit, but we got an idiot up in the office that's causing people to die? Are you freaking kidding me?
Listen, one thing has nothing to do with the other. Trump doesn't report
you. Because the pastor just said, you know what I'm saying? He just made a reference to, certain people saying certain things and they got held accountable. Okay, the same thing, the leadership in this country, in my opinion, what Nick Cannon, who's nowhere near running the country is saying about his personal feelings about religion and all this type of thing or whatever his belief is, shouldn't have nothing to do with his check when we got an idiot that's in office that's running the country that's doing worse. That's the point
Michelle,
I'm trying to make. So while you're saying that he is a time and place for everything, Nick Cannon is the least of our worries.
No, no one's talking about that, Michelle. I agree.
That's not what we're saying.
That's not what I'm saying.
What we're saying is that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. What we have been seeing is all these people who are in high authorities. Now, Nick Cannon is a celebrity, which means he has a voice, which means people listen to him, okay? All these white people who have came out and have said different things against the black race during this time have what? Lost their jobs, lost their careers, have had to suffer disgrace for what they said. This is the saying, okay, we're not just going to take, if we want to talk about equality, we're going to show you equality. So him being removed from what he has been doing for most of his life, it was a dumb mistake for him to say that. Okay, number one, as an adult, as a man with children, you know that you teach your children, don't just say anything you want to say when you want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
For him to be fired, which I don't agree with him being fired. But the mere fact that we've seen all these other people who have said racist and slurs and racist remarks lose their jobs, what do you think they're going to do to this boy? They're going to do the same thing to him, but probably even worse. Because he's talking against, the ones that's paying him his paycheck. So you have to understand that what he said wasn't right. It wasn't. It was racially. It was a racist statement. Now, because we all hear that the race is always hit towards us, even when one of us do it, it should be the same consequences. Now, we don't know what happened to those people who did the racial slurs. They say they lost their jobs. We don't know. But we do know that he did. And whether they make an example out of him for the other race, we don't know. But we do know that he lost his because of his mouth. You have to know, like the Bible says, be slow to speak.
So you asked me, and then you started asking what we thought. Based on what you're telling me, I disagree. I feel like he should have been brought, he should have been sat down with somebody about what he said, but I don't think he should have lost all his stuff. I don't believe that at all, not even a little bit. Not when we got a president that's doing worse.
But they can't remove the president.
Yeah, exactly. The president doesn't work for anybody. We're talking about a guy who had a job and said something about the people, and they fired him for it.
The president works for the United States of America.
And
what do you mean you don't fire nobody?
And we have not,
you can fire him on November.
And they tried to get him out through the impeachment, and what happened? It didn't happen.
Yeah, and we have to be careful when we're doing comparisons from one thing to another. We're talking about this brother. Now, I don't disagree with 99% of the things he said. My issue with him was you have hundreds of people on payroll, brother. You couldn't wait until your show ends before you start talking that talk, because now you are got to chop wild and out around and try to figure out. All I know is there's a lot of black people out of work. I don't care who said what. Whenever I hear a brother of power speak as a CEO, and you just shot yourself in the foot. You could have waited to have that conversation. And everybody's all, whatever, and for Dwayne Wade, F you, Dwayne Wade.
I disagree. I disagree.
That's
I feel
way,
like
Wade.
You, need to,
you supported
they
them
don't
yesterday.
Stop saying
then you
what
was
they
want to
say.
The
they don't
day.
Stop saying what they want to say. You got white people running
done.
Around
we
here
better.
Saying stuff right now.
We ain't
I
done.
Disagree.
We all right. Okay.
I disagree.
Well,
I have to watch
better.
The interview.
All right. Let's come back to it another day, but we're out of time, y'all.
Okay. Well, we appreciate everybody listening in. You have any questions, inbox myself or Hot Kim and on a show topic. And everybody stay safe. Make sure you wear your mask and wash your hands. God bless.
Amen. God bless you.